Our first reading today is from Psalm 100. We read it responsively together. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Know that the Lord is God. It is He that made us, and we are His.
We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture.
Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name.
Our second lesson today comes from a number of verses from the Bible, and as you listen, I will let you figure out what the common denominator is. From the book of Leviticus, chapter 2, you shall not omit from your grain offerings the salt of the covenant with your God. With all of your offerings, you shall offer salt. From Mark, Jesus said, "For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." And from Paul's letter to the Colossians, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. Conduct yourselves wisely toward outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone." The word of God for the people of God. So as I just said, this week many of us will be preparing and or partaking in one of the biggest feasts of the year, Thanksgiving dinner. We will eat foods that we don't eat much during the rest of the year, things like stuffing and cranberry sauce and pumpkin pie. We will use cooking utensils, pans, and fancy dinnerware that we don't use very much during the rest of the year either. Things like turkey roasters and platters, gravy strainers and bowls, grandma's special china, and harvest-themed tablecloths and napkins. It almost makes it seem like Thanksgiving itself is a once-a-year activity, something we only do on the fourth Thursday in November. This is ridiculous, of course, but it's easy to see how we might start to think that way. So I'd like you all to consider the ingredients and utensils you will use this week. Out of all of the pots and pans, dishes and decorations, spices and ingredients, which one would you say is the most important? Which one, if absent, would completely change, maybe even ruin, your Thanksgiving dinner? I'm sure we could have a lively discussion about the various options, but I would like to suggest that one of the most important ingredients, if not the most important, of any of our Thanksgiving dinners is something so common that we use it and depend on it every day, and we often take it for granted. Salt. Simple, ordinary salt. So what's so special about salt? Why not pepper or garlic or some other herb like sage or spice? In a recent sermon, Diana Butler Bass explained the difference between salt and pepper this way. Pepper is a spice, and just like other herbs and spices, when you grind them or crush them or chop them or cook them, spices release oils that add flavor to food, whatever food you happen to be cooking. Pepper adds flavor to food from the outside. Salt, on the other hand, is a mineral. It doesn't just add flavor on the outside, but through various chemical reactions, salt can actually change the texture and the flavor of the food itself. It can change it from the inside. Rather than just adding flavor to a food, when used properly and well, salt works to bring out the full flavor of the food itself. A few years ago, our Thursday morning Faith for Life group did a study called Taste and See, Discovering God Among Butchers, Bakers, and Fresh Food Makers, Don't you wish you had all been part of that? In the book, our author Margaret Feinberg writes, "Salt unlocks flavor. In low concentrations, salt suppresses bitterness and enhances sweetness. In higher concentrations, salt reduces sweetness but enhances umami and other savory flavors." For all of you who enjoy watching cooking shows, this is why the most common critique of the competitors' dishes is that they were not sufficiently seasoned and either need more or less salt. Salt's benefits and importance reach far beyond our culinary curiosity, however. Salt is essential for the healthy functioning of our bodies, especially on the cellular level. It's in our saliva, our sweat, and our tears. The mineral enables our nerves to transmit impulses and stimulates muscle fibers to move. Without it, our hearts would stop beating. Known for its antiseptic qualities, salt is used to irrigate wounds and stabilize body systems. In ancient times, midwives used to rub newborn babies with salt to clean them off and to prevent infections. Although we don't usually think of rubbing salt in a wound as a positive thing, salt does have many purifying and healing qualities. Throughout human history, salt has actually been a prized commodity. The Egyptians are one of the earliest civilizations credited with discovering the preservative nature of salt, which was a global game changer, allowing people to preserve food for use all year round, as well as for travel over long distances. Many food-related words that we use today are derived from the Latin word for salt, sal. Just think of salad, vegetables seasoned with salt, or sausage and salami, meat seasoned with salt, as well as salsa and sauce, which are also created to flavor food. Salt was so valuable that the Romans built the Via Salaria, or the Salt Road, to aid in transporting salt harvested in and around the Adriatic Sea to the capital in Rome. Because salt deprivation could lead to confusion and seizures and even brain damage and thus losing military battles, the Romans are also rumored to have paid their soldiers partially in salt, which is why it is the root of our word, salary. In ancient times, this precious mineral was often exchanged when covenants were made, because salt's many enduring properties symbolized loyalty and faithfulness and the long-lasting nature of these political or religious agreements. And for thousands of years, up until today, salt has been given as a traditional housewarming gift all across different cultures, because it symbolizes our hopes and prayers that people's homes will be filled with flavor and friendship, hospitality and harmony, prosperity and peace, all things that people have associated with salt. Wow. Who knew that simple, ordinary salt encompassed all of that? So it should be no surprise to us that salt actually shows up quite a bit in the Bible, too, as evidenced from our second lesson, which was just a tiny taste of the salt that's in the Bible. On numerous occasions, the covenant that God made with Israel is referred to as a covenant of salt. Feinberg writes, "The two parties of the covenant, God and his people, exchange salt, a tangible symbol of loyalty and friendship, to show the permanent nature of their agreement. Through salt, God reveals his indissoluble relationship with those he loves. Even though salt does dissolve in water, the salt is still present in the water, as you quickly discover when the water evaporates." This was supposed to remind the Israelites of God's faithfulness to the covenant, no matter where they were or what was going on. Salt was also part of the daily worship of God in both the tabernacle and the temple. Salt was added to the incense and to people's offerings as they were burned, both because it was precious and because it unlocked a broader bouquet of aromatic perfumes that would waft up to God, more fully expressing the people's thanksgiving and praise. Later on in the New Testament, Jesus famously called all who wanted to become his disciples to be the salt of the earth. Now that we better understand the significance of salt in Jesus' time, we have a clearer picture of what Jesus means when he calls us to be salt of the earth. We are to be an offering to God and to function like salt does, healing, preserving, offering loyalty and friendship, hospitality, and the fullness of God's abundant life to the world. So why am I spending so much time on salt today? Because I believe that Thanksgiving is like salt. In fact, I would say that Thanksgiving, the spiritual practice of giving thanks, of gratitude, is the very salt of our faith and our lives and our life together. In her sermon, Diana Butler Bass pointed out that too often we treat Thanksgiving more like pepper, like something we sprinkle over our lives after we've counted our blessings, just to add a little extra flavor or a spiritual kick to our reflective, maybe even self-congratulatory feast. Thanksgiving then becomes an add-on, an extra, that changes the way our lives taste from the outside. And it's easy then to relegate it to something we might practice once a year with some special food and parades and football games. But as Bass asserts, real gratitude, deep gratitude, is like salt. It changes us from within. Now, I know that I have preached in the past on the many benefits, the health benefits of gratitude, which have been well documented by science and medicine. Studies have shown that practicing gratitude promotes regular heart rhythms and strengthens heart function. Patients recovering from a heart attack who practice gratitude regularly recover more quickly than patients who don't. Grateful people are more resistant to illness and more resilient in stressful situations. Gratitude has been shown to change not only our hearts, but also to rewire our brains, helping us to block toxic emotions like fear and envy, resentment and bitterness, which tend to come up from the lower part of our brain, and to strengthen the neural connections in our prefrontal cortex, where we experience the more evolved brain functions like decision-making, empathy, compassion, and generosity. Grateful people tend to have stronger social ties and a greater sense of self-worth, stronger mental and emotional health, and a lower incidence of anxiety, addiction, and depression. Just as salt changes food from the inside out, it preserves, heals, and brings out the best in health and flavor, so also does Thanksgiving change us from the inside out, preserving and healing, bringing out the fullness of who we are as God's beloved children and the life that God created and calls us to live. Gratitude completely refocuses our life, just like it did in the psalm that we read together this morning. Psalm 100 is a song of thankful praise that revolves around this one simple truth. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Gratitude puts our lives into God's perspective, that we are creatures created in God's image, beloved children of God, called to be disciples of Jesus Christ, who are filled with God's spirit of love and grace, truth and justice, hope and peace. Gratitude reminds us over and over again that all of life, from the food we eat to the planet we call home, from the air we breathe to the people we love, all of it is a gift from God. God who is faithful to us and to this world God loves. Thanksgiving from the inside out. Practicing gratitude every day means living from what author Sue Monk Kidd calls our grateful center. Our grateful center is that space in which we are free from all of our compulsions of wanting and grasping, our preoccupation with needs and the negatives in our lives. It is the place where we can view life with a sense of miracle, for we realize that all is gift and abundance. We experience life as a banquet in which we grow sensitive to what God has already given us, instead of always thinking about what we need and want and cajoling God to give us more and more and more. Living from our grateful center, letting Thanksgiving change us from the inside out, leads us out into the world to be salt for the earth. When we experience life as a gift, it changes the way we interact with other people and this planet. We are less preoccupied with holding on to what we have and worrying about what we don't have, and we are more able to open our hearts and our arms out to people around us and to offer them the grace and goodness of life as God intended it to be for all people. As Brother David Steindl Rast writes, gratitude can change our world in immensely important ways. Because if you're grateful, you're not fearful. And if you're not fearful, you're not violent. If you're grateful, you act out of a sense of enough and not a sense of scarcity. And you are willing to share. If you are grateful, you are enjoying the differences between people and you are respectful to everyone. And that changes this power pyramid under which we all live. That sounds a lot like Jesus' description of the kingdom of heaven, in which the first will be last and the last will be first. Thanksgiving from the inside out leads us to lives of generosity and peace. Have salt in yourself, Jesus said, and be at peace with one another. Who knows? Thanksgiving just might change the world. I would like to end with a poem prayer written by Mennonite pastor Carol Penner. It's called Thanksgiving Revolution. God, on this Thanksgiving, we know enough to give thanks. Our prayers often begin with, thank you, God, for dot, dot, dot. And then we make a list. The list is longer today because it's Thanksgiving. But what if thankfulness has nothing to do with lists? What if thankfulness is more like the difference between night and day, the difference between being shut in and set free, the difference between holding on and reaching out? What if thankfulness is not something to be grasped, not something that can be simply said, not something at all? What if thankfulness is transformation? A Copernican revolution of the heart, a recentering from ourselves to your Son, a blossoming from bud to flower all the way to the ripe red apple, a movement from life to death and beyond the grave to resurrection. What if Thanksgiving is Christmas, Good Friday, and Easter all rolled into one? When we are tempted to simply list our thanks or to give thanks, show us the wider horizon where we are the extravagant gesture, pressed down, shaken together, running over, thankful people made in your image. As you gather with family and friends this week, as you prepare and enjoy your Thanksgiving feast, may you do so from a grateful center, letting Thanksgiving change you from the inside out, so that you can in turn start a Thanksgiving revolution, which will turn this world upside down with God's abundant life and peace. Oh, and don't forget the salt. Amen.